Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on dehydration when we come back. You know, back in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth, but today it's down to less than 38 days. And the global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years under the Club of Rome plan. Well, you know, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us essentially the same thing in essentially the same words, using the terms false prophets, war, famine, and disease with the same outcome. Well, back in the 1920s, nearly 50% of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers, producing their own food and food for the rest of the world and for you and me. But today, we Americans have chosen to live in our cities, and now only 3% of us live on the land. 97% of us then are no longer self-sufficient in our food production. Now, we produce grain for export, all right, but then we turn around and import our grapes from Chile, our tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 world population control program. And these globalists, with their genocide agenda, have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, and it's certainly entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. My subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call direct, 417-273-4967. Dehydration, not a very pizzazzy topic to talk about, but a fellow by the name of Feridun Batmanghelidze, a medical doctor from Iran, wrote a book, called Your Body's Many Cries for Water. It was published in, or the excerpts of it, published in the June 1999 Acres USA paper. I've reported on this before, but I thought I would report on it again. It's been a long time. In an interview with Dr. Batman, that's his nickname, Dr. Batman, he explained how he had been jailed and had been experimenting on about 3,000 prisoners who were locked up in prison with him, having no medicines and having no other means by which to treat people. He began experimenting with water therapy. How many diseases out of the 450 or so diseases that we have cataloged in the physician's desk reference, and we take a look at these symptoms, and when we hang a label on that symptom, and then we go down and we copyright or we patent that symptom. So we have Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's a disease that manifests symptoms, and so then we hang a label on it and we copyright it, and then we develop some treatments and therapies for it. And if anybody else were to do that, he'd be practicing medicine without a license, and he would be summarily punished by the state, which protects these medical monopolies, legal monopolies, or business and corporate monopolies. After all, government is in the business of protecting monopoly. Business, in short, is a monopoly, and the people that hold those monopolies, whether they be lawyers or doctors, or whether they be businessmen with business licenses, or if they, for some reason, hold a patent or a copyright on a particular subject matter, they're then rewarded through this system, the system of government protection of the monopolies. What if we could find the cause of these symptoms? Not talking now about a treatment for diabetes. What if we could find the cause of diabetes and then eliminate that cause? Then we wouldn't have to pay the monopoly for the insulin to treat the diabetes through a therapy. What if we could find out what the cause of Alzheimer's disease is so that we could eliminate it, such as selenium deficiency? I mean, if it was as simple as a mineral deficiency and you could take that mineral and evade or avoid that problem, then you wouldn't need that monopoly. Well, this month's interview subject made a fantastic discovery while incarcerated by the mullahs in Iran, awaiting trial and probable execution after the fall of the Shah of Iran. During that era, anyone with an education was suspect. An education ran counter to a yearning to turn back the clock a few hundred years. Trained in England under the tutelage of Fleming, the discoverer of penicillin, Feridun Batman Galigi, M.D., accepted the paradigm of modern medicine with little reservation. His knowledge was useless, however, in a prison that permitted no black bag or medicines to a doctor inmate. Surrounded by prisoners who needed help, Dr. Batman came to the conclusion that most metabolic problems are in reality a cry for water by your body, and that these cries cannot be answered with medicine. So Dr. Batman, who was quite at home being called Dr. Batman, began chemical research on some 3,000 inmates to prove out his theory, and the results make some of the most exciting reading in the English language today. At the time of his trial, Dr. Batman presented the judge with an article on water treatment of peptic ulcer disease. His life was spared so that he could continue his research. Some months after his release from prison in 1982, Dr. Batman escaped from Iran and came to America. He since returned to Iran to talk with colleagues and to present his views on television. His findings have been published in several scientific journals and presented at many professional and public conferences. Dr. Batman's many efforts to spread the information that he has discovered to the public are part of his work toward creating a paradigm shift wherein a science-based transformation of the healthcare system may become a reality. So, in Acres USA, Dr. Batman was asked this question. Most of us think of thirst as the signal that we're short of water, but you say that there are a lot of other signals, so I wonder if you might amplify that a bit. Dr. Batman replied, "Well, with pleasure." Actually, thirst, which everyone assumes to be a dry mouth situation, is a sensation that we gradually lose. We don't recognize thirst. We do not recognize that we're dehydrated, even though our mouths may be very dry. The human body needs water in order to be able to chew and swallow food, which is a primary function of your body's metabolism. But the body also needs water in the stomach in order to break down that food, producing ample saliva not only to lubricate the active chewing and swallowing process, but also to supplement the fluid in the stomach. Now, we produce about 2 liters of saliva when we are dehydrated. Dry mouth is not a sign of dehydration. Your body manifests dehydration initially by its drought management programs, secondarily by its crisis calls for water, and then finally by perceptive ways of knowing that we are dehydrated. Initially, the perceptive knowledge comes when we are tired, even though we haven't done a good day's work. We haven't used our muscles, we haven't been active, and yet we feel tired. That is the first sign of dehydration. The human body manufactures energy from water. Water, when it goes through the cell membranes, generates hydroelectric energy exactly where the energy is required to perform a function. Question. Well, you say then that it's an error in medicine to try to deal with these signs of dehydration with medicines when it is simply a cry for water. Dr. Batman responded. He said, absolutely. It is moronic, and it is a flawed assumption that dry mouth is the only sign of dehydration, and the whole structure of modern so-called scientific medicine is based upon this flawed assumption. We have learned, or more accurately, we've been taught, and taught mistakenly, to treat manifestations of dehydration in the body or crisis calls of the body for water with medication. When the body is asking for water, we give it medicine. Now, that is the criminal act that unfortunately is being pursued, even though this information is available to the pharmaceutical industry. But again, water cannot be sold for the kind of profits that medicines can. Question. Getting more specific, what would be a good example? Dr. Batman responded, well, for example, histamine is a neurotransmitter. Histamine. The body manufactures histamine and secretes histamine when it is dehydrated. Histamine is a drought manager in your body. Histamine regulates water intake and then rations that water throughout your body when there is dehydration. Normally, when we drink water, this water goes into the cells by direct diffusion. It flows through the cell membrane gradually and gets into the cells. When there is dehydration, there is not enough water to flow in, and the tendency is for blood to become concentrated and then to draw water out of the cell. The mechanism will kick drought management of the body into action. With histamine as the regulator of that drought management program. Now, the major drought management program in your body we call asthma and allergies. Asthma is a state of dehydration in your body, and when the body shuts down the lung system so that water does not leave the body with every breath that we exhale. When air leaves the body, it carries with it a lot of moisture. You can see that moisture in the winter time when it's cold. It fogs in front of your face, or it steams in front of your face. That's actually water leaving your lungs. And the body cannot afford this amount of loss of water when it is dehydrated. Question. And if there is excess water, what then? Well, when there is excess water, histamine will become inactive. Question. Is water under homeostatic control then? Answer. Well, water is the regulator of homeostasis. In other words, water balances and regulates every function in our bodies. When there is dehydration, something else has to take over for water in order to regulate its functions. And histamine is that guy. Histamine is the element that your body substitutes for some of the functions of water. For example, when water is not manufacturing hydroelectric energy for neurotransmission, then histamine becomes active, and it releases energy from other sources, such as from bondage of calcium that is in the cells. For every molecule of calcium that connects to another molecule of calcium, One unit of energy is stored there. The bones and the calcium deposits in your body are energy storage areas. Histamine has the code to release this energy so that exchanges between the cells inside and outside can take place. So one outstanding example is the sodium-potassium regulation. Potassium should be in the cell. Sodium should be outside the cell. Now, when there isn't enough energy to keep this pump going, histamine becomes active and releases energy for this pump to contribute. Histamine, then, is a major activator of the physiology of the body towards making it normal. And in the process, it signals dehydration of the body. For example, it produces pain. It produces asthma. Histamine produces allergies. Now, these are the processes of the drought management system of your body. Instead of giving histamine what it is asking for, and that's water, when we have symptoms of dehydration, we give it antihistamines. Now, there are hundreds of different medications on the market. All of them are called antihistamines under different brands and labels. Some of them are very strong. Some of them are less strong. But nevertheless, most of the medications used in modern medicine are antihistamines. Question. Well, if someone has ulcers or heartburn or hiatal hernia, the answer is more likely to be water than it is to be the medications that are being offered. Dr. Batman replied, not more likely, but definitely. Water is the choice medication for these conditions, and as I explained in my book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water, heartburn is a primary signal or crisis call of the body for water. What happens is this. It's that this area needs water, and yet water isn't available. So, the regulator of the water flow system and its subordinate chemicals will begin to increase the flow to the area. And in the process, it will produce pain. This pain, then, tells the conscious mind that this area is dehydrated, if, in fact, your conscious mind knew how to interpret the signal. We need more water in order to function. In medicine, arrogantly, stupidly, moronically, we treat this simple call by your body for water with antacids, with Zantac, and with Tagamet, and with a whole host of other medications which are not good for your body in the first place. And that's because histamine has many different functions. So when we use these antihistamines, we are causing a whole lot of disruption in the physiological regulation of the body. Let me pause right here and make an observation. In his book, Dr. Batman pointed out something that is really profound. Let me describe it to you. Most people will say, well, I get lots of water. I get plenty of water every day. And how do people take in their water? Well, they drink coffee. They drink tea. They drink Coca-Cola. Well, when these substances, which are mixed, this is water, all right. Coca-Cola is made with water. Tea is made with water. Coffee is made with water. But when you drink coffee, tea, or Coca-Cola, it goes into your stomach, and your body's sensory organs look at this coffee, and it says, oh, wait a minute, this isn't pure water. This is a food. This is something that needs to be digested. So your body takes this coffee, tea, Coke, whatever it is, and it digests it. It breaks it down in your stomach. It breaks it down. takes the coffee out, and it takes the water out, and it routes the water to your kidneys, and you urinate, and it's gone. Takes the coffee, it directs it somewhere else. Maybe it leaves by way of your bowel, or maybe it goes to your liver or someplace else in your body, and it's processed, and then it's eliminated. Now, here's the difference. When you sit down and you drink a glass of water, the water goes into your stomach, and your stomach looks at it and says, oh, wait a minute, this isn't food. This doesn't need digestion. This is water. So your body takes that water and it routes it directly into your bloodstream, out through your system, and starts watering all those cells out there that need water. So when you say, well, I'm drinking a gallon of coffee and Coca-Cola and all these other things, this is the very reason why, especially in the Western world and particularly in America, we suffer so much from allergies, is because we're dehydrated. We're not thirsty, because when we're thirsty, we go drink something, but we don't drink water. God forbid that an American should drink water. So we drink coffee, tea, milk, or some other liquid that is, it tastes good and probably has a lot of sugar in it, and that's what makes it taste even better. So we drink even more of it. So the kid that's out here drinking this 32 or 64 ounce big gulp over here is dehydrated. He's constipated. He doesn't know what's wrong with him. He doesn't know why he has asthma. He doesn't know why he has allergies. So he goes to the doctor, and the doctor may know the answer to the riddle. But look at it pragmatically. You're a doctor. If you tell this guy, oh, you're just dehydrated, pay the nurse your $25 for the office call and go home, drink some water. There's no money in that. But if you go to the doctor and he examines you and says, oh my God, you've got asthma. That's why you can't breathe. Now, I've got to give you one of these inhalers, and that's $150 or $200 or whatever the price is. And we've got to put you on this medication over here, and we're going to have you come back in every now and again. This is life-threatening. I mean, you could die from this asthma, no doubt about it. But the cure to asthma isn't inhalers or antihistamines or some drug from Pfizer. The cure to asthma is to get over the dehydration. And most Americans can never get over the dehydration because they know that they're drinking a gallon of water a day. And they are. I mean, they're just drinking water by the bucketfuls. But not in the form of water. They're drinking it in the form of tea, coffee, milk, and other things. And the body takes that, digests it, and shifts it right out through your kidneys. And your kidneys, I mean, and that urine is going out your kidneys, boys and girls. It is not rehydrating your body. Now look at the paradox. You're drinking a gallon of liquid a day, and most of it is not available to your body. So you're not thirsty and you feel real good, but you've got these symptoms and the doctor doesn't tell you what the problem is because there's no money in selling water. Now, he said, the question is, you answered that with an increased intake of water. Well, Dr. Batman says that water normally flows into the joint cavities. And it goes through the bone marrow and from the base of the cartilage that is stuck in the cap of the bone in the joint. Now, your cartilage is a watery substance. It is a lubricated substance, and water lubricates cartilage. And cartilage gives the joint its gliding capacity. It's the water in the cartilage that allows one surface of the bone to glide over the other one. Now, when your body is suffering from dehydration, the bone marrow in the heads of the bone take priority for the water that's available. that they need because they're constantly manufacturing red blood cells, new cells, and so on. So their water intake takes priority. And they get more water because there is an active way of delivering water into these growing cells in the bone marrow. There isn't enough water to diffuse through the bone to reach the cartilage at the tip of the bone, so the cartilage becomes dehydrated and you suffer from pain. And then you call that arthritis. Well, if someone has ulcers or heartburn or hiatal hernia, the answer is more likely to be water than it is to be the medications that are being offered. Is that what you're saying? And Dr. Batman said, well, not more likely, but rather definitely. Water is the choice medication for these conditions. All right, now let me back up here and point this out again. Water, then. Pure, unadulterated water is the number one medicine, tonic, or remedy that your body is crying out for when you're suffering from body pain or when you're tired. Just being tired. Now, I'm not talking about after a long, strenuous day. I'm saying you get up in the morning and you're tired. Start drinking water. Pure water. Clean water. Now, water in this country isn't clean and pure. It's, first of all, got two deadly chemicals in it. The water that you get out of your tap has poison in it to kill the bacteria. And we put these chemicals, various chemicals. Of course, there's a couple of cities that don't do that. They use ozone to purify their water. But in most water systems, we use deadly toxic chemicals. Now, what this does to the water and to your body's sense when it goes into your stomach as to the water, whether it needs to be digested or whether it can be assimilated directly, I don't know. Dr. Batman didn't talk about that. But he did talk about when you mix it in the form of tea, coffee, or Coca-Cola or something else. And I would suspect that the chemicals in there might also send to your body a signal that says, hey, listen, we need to break this down and eliminate it. Well, if your stomach digests the food and the water, it gets some use out of the water, but not all of the use. Whereas if you're drinking pure, clean water, it goes right through your stomach lining and right into your bloodstream and right out to the cells that need it, right out to the joints, the cartilage. So, of the 450 diseases in here, this Dr. Batman has come to the conclusion that a great number of them, we don't know how many, I didn't count them, but a great many of these symptoms, asthma is one, constipation is one, tiredness is one, and arthritis is one. Water. You're dehydrated. Now, the mechanism is clearly explained in my book, and I recommend that people with arthritis read this book and become free of arthritis naturally, simply, logically, and scientifically. Question. Now, you mentioned that people should drink at least 2 quarts of water or more every day. Dr. Batman responded, well, on an average, we basically need no less than 2 quarts of water a day in order to manufacture urine. In order to be able to lose water through the process of breathing, because water is a vital element to our breathing process, and we use 2 quarts of water a day in the breathing process alone. It's water that creates excessive tension in the air sacs and produces constriction of the air sacs methodically all across the lung tissue. So that air can leave the lungs, water is a vital element to our breathing process. Now, we need this water in order to offset any shortness of breath, any asthma attack, or any anginal pain. Anginal pain is another complication of dehydration, one that occurs when the heart is also suffering as a result of a lack of water, or just plain and simple dehydration. When we eat solid foods and we don't drink enough water, solid food is broken down with whatever water could be borrowed from elsewhere in your body system. This water liquefies the food and pushes it through the portal system, which is a blood flow between the intestinal tract and the liver. Now, the water then takes this concentrated blood to the liver. The liver needs more water in order to function, in order to process and metabolize these particles. Now, this highly concentrated blood goes to the right side of your heart, and from there it is pumped to your lungs. Now, the lungs will also extract some water from this concentrated blood, and water has to evaporate. There is no control over this, unless the bronchioles are obstructed. Then, this highly concentrated blood flows from the lungs into the left side of your heart and is pumped through your circulatory system. The first attack of this concentrated acidic blood would be on the tender and soft membranes of the arteries of the heart themselves. That is how these arteries are damaged, because their water is extracted by this concentrated blood. The cells become damaged, and eventually part of the process of recovery of damaged cells is to cover them with a greasy material, such that not only do they not lose their water, but they also get protection. We call this cholesterol. Cholesterol is the substance that your body uses as an internal bandage to bandage the system, a grease bandage, which is put over the injured tissue. And that's why we have cholesterol attacks in your arteries, in the major arteries going to the brain, going down to the body. Cholesterol deposits on the arteries is a secondary phenomenon to dehydration of the body, and we did not understand that. Now, we assume cholesterol is the culprit, and then we take cholesterol-lowering drugs, and we try to tell people to diet ignorantly, not realizing that we measure the cholesterol in the blood that we take from the veins, and that this high level of cholesterol, if it was the primary culprit, should form a thick layer of deposits in all of the veins of our body. You've never heard of cholesterol deposits in the venal system. So cholesterol isn't your problem. Cholesterol is the secondary material that the body uses in order to cover damaged tissue caused by dehydration. Well, then, what causes high blood pressure? Well, hang on, boys and girls. We'll take our midpoint break here. We'll be back and we'll take a look at what causes high blood pressure right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet 7 days a week. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log, schedule, and the archives. It can be accessed through the web page, and the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, economics, history, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School direct at 417 573-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, the endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend will necessarily reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed 100% by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, an interview by Acres USA of Dr. Let's see if I can pronounce his name. Let me spell it for you. His first name you can pronounce. It's Feridoon. F-E-R-E-Y-D-O-O-N. Feridoon. Batman Gilidge. I guess it's Gilidge. B-A-T-M-A-N. G-H-E-L-I-D-J. M-M-D. So we just call him Dr. Batman from Iran. Dr. Batman from Iran. All right, what causes high blood pressure? Now, surprisingly, we've talked about asthma, arthritis, cholesterol, heart disease, dehydration, asthma, allergies. All of these, Dr. Batman points out, are caused by dehydration. Well, it seems kind of simple, doesn't it? Well, why don't you just give it a try? Maybe you've got asthma, and you've got an inhaler. I've seen people use these. They'll come to class here, and he whips out his inhaler, and he takes a couple of breaths off of his inhaler, and he's got his medication and one thing and another. And then as time progresses along, you know, he whips out a Coke, and he drinks a Coke, and he has lunch, and maybe he drinks coffee, or he drinks milk, or he drinks something, tea. People, when they come to class, they're never short of something to drink. Once in a while, you'll see somebody come to class, and I observe these people, and they'll actually be drinking water. When I see somebody drinking water, I look at them, and I say, "Do you have asthma, arthritis, tiredness, high blood pressure?" And almost invariably they say, "No, no, why? Why do you ask?" The reason I ask is because I like to see whether or not these articles and stories and reports that I make over here, do they really have real life validity to them? And so when I read a story like this, I like to share it with the listening audience and say to myself, "Well, gee, is it really true? Is it really just this simple, or is there some great mystery to asthma, arthritis, heart attack, stroke? Is it so complex and complicated?" And my observation is no, it's not really that difficult to grasp or understand at all. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. You don't have to be a National Merit Scholar to understand these cause and effect relationships. Now, Dr. Batman discovered this somewhat by accident. He's locked up in prison. He's a medical doctor. And he doesn't have his black bag, and he doesn't have any medicine. And then, you know, some guy is suffering from pain or suffering from something, and so he could naturally, you gravitate to a doctor and say, "Hey, doc, I got this terrible pain in my knee. What do you think is causing it? What do you think I can do about it?" Now, most people, when they have pain, they go to the doctor. The doctor doesn't have a clue as to what's causing the pain, so he prescribes a painkiller. The doctor prescribes some narcotic painkiller, and it works like a shot. It takes the pain away. But painkiller doesn't cure. Painkiller doesn't eliminate. Painkiller doesn't obviate or heal the problem. If you've got pain in your knee, that's caused by a lack of lubrication. Now, if you've ever done much butchering, you cut an animal's knee open, you know, or you're disjointing the animal, and in this knee, in the joint itself, is this syrupy kind of liquid. I mean, it's you talk about something that's slippery. Now, I mean, this stuff is like it's better than oil. I mean, it's slicker than oil. And it's just a white, clear liquid that's in this thing called the bursa sac. You know, in a human, they call it the bursa sac. I don't know what you call it in a cow. And it's white, you know, when you cut this joint open and this clear liquid flows out. And I looked at that and I said, well, that's the lubricant here in that kneecap or in that knee, that cow's knee. So, here's Dr. Batman. He comes along and he says, well, now, here's the way your body works. Here's the way your body uses this water. And when you don't have enough water, when you're suffering from dehydration, you may have a symptom called asthma. Next guy may have a symptom called arthritis. The next guy may have a symptom called high blood pressure. Next guy, the symptom may show up as an allergy. What you're all suffering from here is dehydration. Dehydration, shortage of water. And as I mentioned earlier, now you're thirsty. So you go open a Coke. Your body sends you a signal and you're thirsty, so you go drink a cup of coffee. You're thirsty, so you go drink a cup of tea. Your body digests it and you don't get the use of the water. And that's what Batman here is trying to tell you. Now, when we get to high blood pressure, he says high blood pressure is another drought management program of your body. Now, we have two oceans of water in your body. There is one ocean of water inside the cells of your body. Inside every cell is full of water. Then there's another ocean of water outside the cells of your body. The water that we drink goes into the ocean inside the cells of the body. The salt that we take in regulates the volume of the ocean outside the cells of the body. So when we don't drink enough water, the ocean of water inside the cells becomes depleted. Part of the process under these circumstances, when the brain is 85% water and the soft tissue is 75% water, now, the circumstance, the process is that we need to manufacture urine. And we need the liver to function. And your body has to deliver some water for these functions. So when your body needs water for your liver to function, it operates a reverse osmosis program. In other words, it begins gradually to absorb salts, expanding the volume of water outside of the cells, and from that, it filters water through tiny perforations in the membrane that is created at these moments of drought management. The pressure that is needed to inject the water is produced by a chemical substance called vasopressin. This vasopressin sits on its receptors in these cells that should receive water when there is dehydration. That receptor is converted into a showerhead cluster of tiny perforations of no more than 2 angstrom units, which only allows one water molecule to go through that hole. vasopressin also puts a squeeze on the blood vessels in the area and produces the extra pressure that we need in order to inject water into those cells. Question. Well, then what can be done about high blood pressure? Dr. Batman responded, well, water is the best medication for high blood pressure because not only will water get into the cells directly, but also the water is also a better diuretic than anything that we know of. You know, water is the best medication for your body because not only will water get into your cells directly, but water is also a better diuretic than anything else. We don't need to give diuretics to people who have hypertension. Water will perform both functions, and water is fairly inexpensive. It will get rid of the excess sodium at the same time as it flows into the cells directly. Vasopressin secretion is shut off, so we do not develop high blood pressure. Akers. Well, in case of renal failure, what do you do about that? Well, I wouldn't give this amount of water to people who have already damaged their kidneys as a result of dehydration. These people should drink water very slowly, and if they increase their urine production, then they could gradually increase their water intake. In any case, they should never cut off any medication or any other program when you're suffering from renal failure. They should always consult with their doctors for proper management, but should take my book. They should take a look at my book and take it to their doctor and say, please read this book and see if you can treat me with this information. If your doctor refuses to do that, then why don't you consider changing doctors? Get somebody with a more open mind. Akers. Well, does the water program reverse this renal damage if it is managed properly? Dr. Batman. Well, it's possible. Have you ever seen it happen? Well, a lot of people who are diagnosed with problems with their kidneys do recover gradually because not all of the kidney tissue is fully damaged. Some parts of the kidney are still alive and may be able to pick up some of the activity. Some parts of it are still alive. And people who need transplants naturally will not benefit from this information because the kidney tissue in them is already dead. Or it is dying to the point that they need a transplant. But many times, doctors also exaggerate the process and they promote dialysis and operations when the kidney might recover as a result of increased water intake. Now, I got to pause here for a moment and think about this for a second because, you know, dialysis is a treatment, not a cure. And a kidney transplant, while it's promoted as a cure, in reality, it's a treatment, and it's a treatment that is lifelong in its nature. When you have a kidney transplant, you are now dependent upon the medical profession for the rest of your life. You'll be taking these drugs, these anti-rejection drugs for the rest of your life. Now, it would seem like to me that it would be a simpler process to get off of all of these Cokes and coffee and tea and drink more water than it is to come back later and then say, well, gee, now I need a kidney transplant. Now, there are some exceptions to that kidney transplant. Sometimes people will get a kidney that comes from their brother or somebody else where the cell tissues actually meet and they don't need that rejection drug, but primarily they're taking these kidneys out of just anybody and they put you on this anti-rejection routine. Kind of like diabetics, you know, get on insulin. Once you get on insulin, your pancreas shuts down, doesn't make insulin anymore, and so now you're insulin dependent for life. Now remember, when you're insulin dependent for life, you're a medical cash cow. You just can't, you know, I can't think of a better business than food in a famine. Well, I just can't think of a better business than a dependent patient on a doctor. You know, once you're on dialysis, you know you're a cash cow for the rest of your life. You want to live? And the doctor says, well, I've got the machine and here's the price. Now, if you think about this pragmatically for a minute, this water therapy over here is too simple, too cheap, and it certainly can't be worth anything because it doesn't cost anything. And I took a look at Dr. Batman's book over here, and I thought it was a revolutionary concept. Now remember, your lungs, every 24 hours, take 2 quarts of water to operate. Not 2 cups of coffee, or not 2 quarts of Coca-Cola now, it's 2 quarts of water. Water. Now remember he said you've got two oceans of water. You've got this one ocean inside your cells and you've got another ocean outside of your cells. And I've often said, you know, oh, the marvels, the mystery of random selection, that your body just accidentally put itself together this way. When your body's short of water, it's got histamine, it jumps in, takes over from there. Your body has a water management system. If your liver needs water, it'll go to some other place in your body and get the water that it needs to keep the vital functions going. You know, going to the bathroom isn't a vital function. So you develop, your body takes the water out of your colon and delivers it to some other section or some other part of your body that needs it. And so you become constipated. You can't figure out why you're constipated, so you take X-lax or you take some laxative. Your body doesn't need a laxative. Your body isn't short of X-lax or milk of magnesia. Your body's short of water. Now, it is true that if you're constipated and you take milk of magnesia, then it'll soften your stool and you'll go to the bathroom, and that'll solve that problem. But that makes you medically dependent again. And, you know, it's a decision for you to make. If you want to spend your money on medications, that's fine, but water's a lot cheaper. And you can have better health through something as simple as just pure, clean water. Now, the downside to that is you're already drinking a gallon of all the good stuff. And, you know, your taste buds develop a taste for coffee, tea, milk, Coke. And you're drinking a gallon of this a day, and you feel real good drinking a gallon of this a day, but you may have asthma or allergies and one thing and another, and you're going to have a real hard time drinking a gallon of water in addition to a gallon of all of these other liquids. So that may be a problem for you. It would be for me. I have a hard time drinking a gallon of water a day. I'm not sure that I could drink 2 gallons, you know, a gallon of water and a gallon of something else. Now, water is the best medication for this renal problem. But go to your doctor if you've got damaged kidneys over here and say, well, doc, why don't you take a look at this book? You know, even the doctor might learn something. Now, how would you manage the salt intake? Well, salt is a vital element. Here's Dr. Batman. He says, salt is a vital element to the human body. In the order of importance, it's water first. I know that we cannot live without oxygen for more than 2 or 3 minutes. But if water wasn't around, oxygen would be useless. In the order of importance, it's first water, then oxygen, and then after these two, it's salt. Salt, number 3. Salt maintains the volume of the ocean outside of your cells. Salt maintains that ocean outside your cells. These two oceans have to be in balance, and the ocean inside and the ocean outside, in the same way as the Atlantic and the Pacific, have always got to be in balance. You can't fill up the Atlantic and allow the Pacific to dry out, because then you'll have problems on the adjacent land. The human body is the same. these two oceans in your body have to be in balance, and salt regulates the ocean of water outside of your cells. For every 10 glasses of water, on average, we need to take at least half a teaspoon of salt as seasoning on our food throughout the day. So if we drink only water and don't take salt, we'll wash some of the minerals out of our body. Salt deficiency produces its own problems. And in my opinion, asthma is a problem of both water and, in a major way, salt deficiency in your body. It's an imbalance in salt and water. Question, is there anything to the claim that sea salt is superior to the salt that you get from conventional supermarkets? Dr. Batman, yes. The human blood has a lot of similarities with seawater. The red blood cells and the white blood cells are like red and white fish. Nonetheless, the consistency of blood is saline, meaning salty, and it also needs magnesium, selenium, manganese, and a whole host of other elements. Salt, if it is unrefined, seems to contain most of these other elements. Unfortunately, a lot of the salt that we get is from sea salt or origin, but other elements have been extracted from it. So what people want to get is sun-dried sea salt. In other words, not extracted sea salt. We should look for the salt that contains the magnesium, potassium, selenium, and all of the other elements. These are vital elements that your body needs, and often we take only salt that contains sodium and chloride. And also the manufacturers of such salt often add aluminum as an anti-caking agent so that it doesn't stick together. Aluminum is a toxic material, and it's been implicated in Alzheimer's disease. Hey, let me make an observation here on the salt thing. We get our salt from the North Atlantic, comes from Europe. We pay $22 a pound for Atlantic sea salt. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy because you can go to the store and you can buy salt, but the salt you buy in the store has been refined, and what you've got there is salt, sodium chloride, but you don't have the salt with all of these trace elements and minerals that you get from natural sea salt. Most of you have probably never had natural salt, and you've lived all of your lives with this manufactured industrial chemical product that you call Leslie or Morton salt. Just a wild new idea. Here's Dr. Batman comes along and says, well, yeah, it tastes good, but it doesn't nourish your body. Salt, when it has lost its savor, lost its flavor, lost its saltiness, of what value is it? It's just good to be thrown out. And that's what Jesus said of bad salt. So you have good salt and you have bad salt. So if you want to buy good salt, go to the health food store and tell them you'd like to get some Atlantic sea salt. You'll pay a little more for it, but then, you know, you don't use it except for flavoring your food, and that's not very much. Hey, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Now, Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, that's it. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.